Wow, what a deal. You will not want to miss that. It's the Blue Light Special. You'll want to have it. Hey, I think I got one more CD back here. Anybody? See ya! Ooh, got her in the eye. She's okay. Hey, I got four quick announcements. First announcement is for women only. Women. It's the small group deadline is this week to sign up. Go to grow.hope.edu, take care of business. Second announcement is for men only. Give me some men. I love it. Tonight is the third annual Four Square Dodgeball Challenge at the Keppel parking lot. It's Dogs and Dooskies Cookout. You'll want to be there 7 o'clock tonight. Bring a buddy. Third announcement is for men only again. Sorry. Michigan versus Notre Dame Saturday. There is a tailgate game watching at the Coliseum Cottage. You can go on grow.hope.edu to learn more about that one. Fourth announcement is for everybody. All right. There is going to be a fire drill once I say amen, go in peace. I'm serious. There will be a fire drill. It is timed. You need to exit quickly. It is not a spoof. It is a real fire drill. Well, it's not real, but they got to time it. Okay? Enough. I'm done with the announcements. Okay. Hey, we are traveling through the book of Genesis this year in the gathering and in the chapels. The book of Genesis is made up of 50 chapters, 1,510 verses, which means it's going to be really difficult to cover the whole book of Genesis in the gathering and the chapel services. So we have decided that we're going to take the main themes of Genesis and tackle those at the gathering on Sunday night. But during the week, periodically, we are going to look at small little chunks of Genesis in chapels. We're going to call them Genesis footnotes. Kind of cool. Okay, so I'm doing the first of the Genesis footnotes today. It's from Genesis 28. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of that place, he put it under his head and he laid down in that place. And then he dreamed. He dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth and the top of it was reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood next to Jacob, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie on right now, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, and to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in you and in your offspring. And know that I will be with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For surely I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. So Jacob rose early the next morning, and he took the stone that he had laid on, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil over the top of it, and he called that place Bethel. Now, I'm going to stop there because I want to do a quick summary of what we just heard in the story. Jacob is the son of Isaac, and he's also the grandson of Abraham. And he's on a journey somewhere between the places called Beersheba and Haran, and the Lord shows himself to Jacob in a dream. And Jacob, upon seeing the Lord, takes a stone and sets it up as a pillar to mark his encounter with God. How many of you have seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Not Evan Almighty, Bruce Almighty. Okay, you remember it? It's not too old, 5-6 years old. It stars Jim Carrey, and Jim Carrey plays the role of, I think it's Bruce Nolan, who's a kind of a TV reporter, whose dream is to someday have the anchor job at Channel 7. Is it coming back? Okay. Well, the job opens in the movie, and Bruce is passed over, and his world comes crashing down. And as his world is falling apart, there's a great scene in the movie where Bruce has his own encounter with God. Watch this.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you?
Talk back. Tell me what's going on.
What should I do? Give me a signal. Please, send me a sign. Ah, what's this Joker doing now? Okay, all right, I'll try it your way. All right, Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please. Reach into my life. What the hell? Where are you? I got you.
Should be fired. The only one around here not doing his job is you. Answer me.
Sorry, don't know you. Wouldn't call you if I did.
Now, there's a lot of things in that movie, if you watch the rest of it, that I wouldn't totally agree with or line up theologically with. But in this scene, I think the writers and producers are on to something really good. Could it be that the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos, really wants to make himself known to us? Could it be possible that God is so intensely interested in people like you and me that he'll do whatever it takes to connect with us, to use the ordinary and the extraordinary, the natural and the supernatural, the common and the uncommon. It seems that the Jacob story that I just recited a few minutes ago bears witness to this reality, and that it is a true reality, that it's not some Hollywood made-up idea, but it's an idea that originates in the very heart of God. Bottom line, God wants to show himself to us. And I want to pause here for a moment to dispel a common myth that is a part of our culture and really even a part of some of our churches. And the myth is this, that God only reveals himself to those who have their life all together. The super saints, you know, those folks who don't sin or at least don't sin that badly. But the Jacob story proves that that is flat out not true. Jacob's story is a story of grace. You see, Jacob, you have to understand, is no goody two-shoes. I mean, Jacob, the story says, is on a journey. He's really not on a journey. Jacob has just ripped off his older brother so badly that his older brother Esau wants to kill him. And so Jacob is on the run. He's not really on a journey. He's on the run from his brother. And Jacob is also known to be a deceiver, a liar. His family is divided, and they're at odds with one another. Bottom line, Jacob's life is a mess. Sounds similar? But here's the good news. In spite of all the crap going on in Jacob's life, God makes the initiative and comes to him. And if God does that with somebody like Jacob, I'll tell you, God can do that in your life and my life as well, regardless of the circumstances, your past, or whatever is going on in your life right now. And I don't know about you, even as I say that, the words out of my mouth, I think that is sweet, isn't it? That the God of the universe is not deterred by all my struggles, all my baggage, all my doubt, all my imperfections. God is not deterred by that. And for me, that is so hopeful and life-giving. For God's intentions in meeting us is not to be some kind of magic trick that's really cool that God kind of shows up poof and thinks, oh, that's pretty cool. But God's intention in meeting us is to bring out the best in us, to bring good into our lives. Someone once said, God loves you just where you're at right now, but he loves you way too much to let you remain there. God wants to reveal himself to us, to each one of us, and bring good in our lives. Some of you here this morning are kind of hearing this and saying, hey, Paul, I can recognize that because I've had times in my life where God has made himself known, and I've put up a pillar to acknowledge that. But there's others here I know here today who are like, Bors, cool story, but I still got a lot of questions. I got a lot of doubts. I'm really skeptical, and even as you're talking, it just sounds like more that religious hocus-pocus stuff. And if that's where you're at today, that's really cool. In fact, I think your questioning and your skepticism and your doubts doesn't scare God away. In fact, I think God loves your genuineness. But if that's where you're at this morning, I want to challenge you to pray just a really simple prayer. I'm gonna read it or pray it, and you pray it to yourself if this is where you're at right now. Pray this: God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I am an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if you are real, and if you bring conviction to my mind and my heart, I will trust you and follow you as my Lord. That prayer sounds really familiar to what Jacob responded to God in our story. I didn't recite this part of it. Here's the last part of Genesis 28 today. after Jacob meets God, he sets up a stone as a pillar. And then he says this, "And then Jacob made a vow to the Lord. He said, 'If God will be with me and will keep me on this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that he brings me back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God.'" Then the Lord will be my God. I love it. That's an honest prayer, an honest seeker. And then you can read the rest of the story, what happens to Jacob's life. But that last line, "then the Lord will be my God," I pray and I hope in the coming days, weeks, months of this year, that as the Lord encounters us, encounters you, that you too would have that same response. "Then the Lord is my God." Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who is so intensely interested in each one of us, regardless of our background or our past or stuff that has happened to us. God, the Jacob story is a story of your grace and goodness that you show to us. And thank you that in the story, Jacob wasn't even looking for you, but you were looking for him. And so, God, there are people here this morning who aren't even looking for you, but you're pursuing them. And really, not just them, you're pursuing all of us, God. We bless you that you are that kind of God. So now, God, keep our eyes open and our hearts open enough to when you make yourself known, that we will acknowledge it and trust you and say, as Jacob said, "Then the Lord will be my God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let it be done. Amen. Go in peace, and the fire drill is coming. Thanks.